It is the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Wednesday morning. It's Wildcat Wednesday. We've got K-State District and Extension District with Barbara Ames and Jacob Weber. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Jacob, it's been a while, man. I mean, we went on like a weekly basis for a minute, and then it was like a month that I didn't see you, so it's good to have you back.
Yeah, great to be back.
Well, it's that time of the year as well. So many fairs popping up, including ones that started previously or this week or coming up this weekend and things like that. And Jacob, we were talking off the air, and I think this is an interesting viewpoint, because for me, it's fairs, my childhood, I never really went to. So it's kind of interesting to learn all of the new aspects of it as I grew up. But you kind of described it going to a fair from the judge's point of view instead of the one providing the livestock or providing whatever needs to to be judged. And I think that is an interesting point of view and something that I want you to kind of dive into.
Okay, yeah. I'm not a livestock judge.
Okay.
And those folks really have to be on their toes,
sure,
when they're doing that. I'm glad I'm not that. But I have judged three fairs already this year, within the last week. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. There's it depends. I do plant science mainly, which includes horticulture, floriculture, field crops, and sometimes it's not too bad. I do open class and 4-H. There's a difference between open class and 4-H mainly. Open class is for everyone. And then with some fairs, they'll have a youth open class and an adult open class. And then even one had a senior open class. So we're giving out lots of ribbons in open class judging. All the exhibits within a class are judged against each other. And we select the best. And the not the best. Okay. I don't want to say the worst, because. But in some cases, there are some that are
not the best.
Not the best.
Yeah, certainly.
So there's an open class. Typically, there's just three prizes given, or three ribbons: blue, red, and white. And a white ribbon is not a bad thing to have. It just means that somebody had a little better exhibit than you. But sometimes there's only one exhibit within a class, and then really have to look at and say, okay, did this person have a product that was worthy of a blue ribbon? In most cases, I say, I just go ahead and give it a blue, because they bothered them. They were bothered themselves to go ahead and bring something into the fair.
It takes some work to do that, doesn't it?
And that's good for the fair. So
yeah,
most of the time I'll give a blue. Occasionally there's something that's just not really that good, and so I'll give it a red. Rarely do I give white ribbons in open class if there's only one or two exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's three or four or more, and sometimes the exhibits are very challenging because there are multiple exhibits, and one of the worst are the French marigolds, because it's really difficult to get an ugly looking French marigold. And so
you got to try really hard.
Yeah. So we have to look at and then decide, well, which one looks the best, and of course one on marigold exhibits. Or any single stem flower exhibit. I like to see some foliage on the stem as well as the flowers. A lot of times I'll see just the flower itself on a very short stalk. And that just seems like it's missing something if it doesn't have the foliage with it. So the foliage is kind of what makes that flower more attractive. So folks listening should remember that, and when you exhibit single stem flowers, is to maybe keep part of the plant with it. That'd be great, at least for this judge. I don't know if the other judge might do different. So the judge has to determine which one's the best. That's a challenge, and that's I feel it's a heavy responsibility too, because you have human feelings that you're dealing with.
And, yeah, certainly.
And some of them may not
take it as well.
Well, they may not agree with you. Of course, the judge is always right, regardless of whether the judge knows what they're doing, and the judge is well aware of that. And the judge is oftentimes asked to judge things that the judge is not comfortable judging. I'm talking about myself. And one time I did refuse to judge quilts. I don't know a whole lot about quilts, so I refused to do that.
I think, you know, as a any contestant really would probably appreciate that a little bit. He doesn't know too much, so don't want him judging me.
The inside story is that 4-H agents and the other agents responsible for 4-H and fair activities, they're out looking for judges, and sometimes judges are in short supply because they're busy doing other things. They have other activities that have taken them away, or they just simply don't want to do it because they just running ragged. So they're looking for judges, and sometimes judges are asked to judge things that, well, okay, let's finish up the fair. We got something that needs to be judged, so we need somebody to put a ribbon on it.
Yep.
And that's what happened. So that's when I was asked to judge quilts, and they said, okay, somebody else can do a better job than me. I didn't want that responsibility.
Certainly. And I like that point, too, how you say, you know, most of the time you will give that blue ribbon just because it is, you know, it's that effort. You're here, you're participating in the fair, and, it's you coming out and being a part of it, and I think that's a big part of it.
And a fair is a great thing, and each county has a fair in Kansas, as far as I'm aware of, and that's an opportunity for youngsters that have never been out on a farm to go out and really kind of rub shoulders with the farm animals and livestock and crops and things like that, and see those sights, as well as taking on a carnival too.
Yeah, and I think that's almost a perfect segue as that as well, because Barbara, I know you wanted to note on a couple of things as well for hygiene and hydration for the young ones coming out, especially with the weather that could potentially get up to be pretty hot.
That's right. We want to make sure that we stay hydrated. I know we hear that every place, but as we're out into the fairgrounds and we get so excited looking at all those exhibits and all those ribbons that Jacob and other judges have been giving out, that sometimes we forget. So it's a good idea to make sure that we have our water bottle with us and make sure that we're hydrated and pay special attention to those children, because they're more susceptible to dehydration even than adults. So want to make sure that they are drinking as they go through the day, because water is really important to our body. All of our body functions depend on water. Our brain is 85% water, so it's important that we drink plenty of water and stay hydrated.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe, the difference at just a 5-minute stop in the shade to get some water or air conditioning, whatever it may be, just take a 5-minute break. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, that's important. For adults, we can, for people, we recommend 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day, and then for exercising, even more than that, just to make sure that we do stay hydrated. Because even like 1-3% dehydration can start to affect your performance, your physiological performance and stuff like that. So it doesn't take a whole lot.
Yeah, and I've suffered personally with chronic migraines, and when you get dehydrated, it's very hard to get away from a migraine from it. So
that's right. And then another thing when we're out at the fair is just to remember hand washing, how important hand washing it is. As Jacob said, it's really educational and fun to get out there and interact with the animals and all the other exhibits, but we want to make sure that pay a special attention to those children, especially the little children, because they have a tendency to stick their fingers in their mouth, or if they, they're small enough to have a pacifier or something like that, it's really easy for them to pick up bacteria and stuff, because animals do have germs that can make us sick.
Certainly. Yeah. And, it's part of the nature, and, animals, they're outdoors, they're exposed to the surroundings, whether it's the animal or whether it's something the animal comes across. You know, as a young individual, you're not necessarily exposed to those always. So
that's right. And so you're, you know, if you're not, you're even more susceptible. I read that between 2010 and 2015, there were actually 100 outbreaks of illnesses, illnesses in people that were related to contact with animals that were actually reported. In that there were about 100 outbreaks in that five-year period that were actually reported. So it does happen, and so we just want to make sure that people stay safe. Keep it a fun event, a fun experience, and stay safe.
Yeah, like the both of you that are saying, there's pretty much one in every county. It's a right. lot of fun to go to,
right.
you know, but just take simple precautions. Take an extra water bottle and you know, keep an extra eye on the kids as well, because you know, animals are large as well, and you don't want them wandering around a bigger animal than they should be. So,
sure.
Barbara Ames and Jacob Weber with us from the Wildcat Extension District. We will check in with you in the 8 o'clock hour.
All right.
Very good.
All righty. We're coming up here on a commercial break. When we come back again, Wildcat Wednesday will return after the news break.